Now it came about that while the multitude was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake. But the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and began teaching. And the multitudes were there and listening as he sat and taught from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered and said, "Master, we worked hard all night, caught nothing. But at your bidding, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. And they signaled to their partners to the other boat for them to come and to help, and they came and filled both of the boats, so they began to sink. But Simon Peter fell, when he saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying repeatedly, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus looked at Simon and said to him, "Do not fear. From now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to the land, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. You can be seated. So I mentioned to those who were here yesterday, I wanted to kind of look at some post-resurrection stories in light of the fact that we're still in the season of Easter until Pentecost. And this particular story ministers to me so much because it gives us such insight into the nature of God. And because it gives us insight into the nature of God, it helps us understand better God's dealing with us. Because God's glory is the manifestation of His presence and His nature. And so to trust Him, it's important, if we're going to live by faith, we have a revelation and a growing revelation of what God's really like. I wanted to read the story of Peter because I want to talk about God's post-resurrection encounters or relationship with Jesus with Peter. Because if you remember in Luke chapter 22, Peter, who was the leader of the whole group, of all the apostles, he was their great leader. And as they were discussing on the night before Jesus was betrayed at the first Eucharistic meal, this idea came up that Jesus mentioned that someone was going to betray him, and all the disciples began to discuss among themselves who it might be. And then they began to discuss among themselves who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And instead of rebuking them, which I would have done, especially in light of the fact that Jesus just got through telling them that somebody was going to betray him, and he was obviously grieved, and his heart was in this heavy place. And here they are discussing about who's going to be the greatest. He just reminded them. He blessed them and said, "You're the ones who've stood with me all this time." And he said, "There'll be a time when you'll rule with me over all the tribes of Israel from the kingdom." But then he looked to Peter and he said, "Before this night is over," he said, "you will betray me three times before the cock crows." And then Peter steps back and he looks at all the ones who had been discussing among themselves who was going to betray him. And who was going to be the greatest? He said, "All these guys may betray you, but it will not be me. I'll go to jail first. I'll even die first. But I'm the one guy you can count on. I don't know about these guys." And of course, then Jesus repeated. He said, "Simon, Simon," the name he called him originally, "Satan has obtained permission to sift you like wheat." He said, "But I'm praying for you that your faith won't fail and that when you turn, you'll strengthen your brothers." Now, of course, we know, other than Judas, and Judas was not a believer, among all believers, Simon's failure was the most famous ever. Everybody knew about it. And he denied Christ openly three times, the one who wouldn't deny him. But if you remember, again, the scripture that I read, in his first encounter with Jesus, when the decision was made to leave everything and follow him, and here's this professional fisherman, and Jesus tells them to let the nets down, where they had not caught fish all night long and they had this amazing catch. Peter falls down before him. This is a fisherman. You with me? And so he's not an interior decorator. He's a fisherman. Excuse me if you're an interior decorator. I don't mean to offend you. But he's a rough guy. He's a fisherman. And he falls down before Jesus and he says, "Look, depart from me, O Lord, for I'm a sinful man." Seeing who Christ was and what Christ could do, he was confronted with his own sinfulness. And was basically saying, "Lord, depart from me." And he was repeatedly saying that as if he's saying, "Go ahead and get it over with. Depart from me." because I'm a sinful man. Because they were all amazed at what Jesus had done, and yet Jesus then stops and looked directly at Peter and says, Peter, not only am I not going to depart from you, but if you'll follow me, I'll make you a fisher of men. I'm looking for someone just like you. Being a sinful man doesn't prevent you. Leaving all your nets and following me, leaving everything and following me qualifies you. I can do something with the other stuff. And then now here Peter fails. I mean, this is his worst nightmare. He warned the Lord early, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. Bragged about the fact he wouldn't. And then he blows it terribly and publicly. So in the resurrection, in Mark chapter 16, it says this about Peter and the Lord. It says in verse 6, he says, this is an angel speaking, saying to them, don't be amazed to the women who were there. You're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who has been crucified. He's risen. He's not here. Behold, here is the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples, and particularly tell Peter. That's always blessed me so much. Now remember what Jesus told him in Luke 22. I've prayed that your faith wouldn't fail. We talked about this recently. Jesus didn't pray that he wouldn't fail. Jesus knew he was going to fail. But he prayed that in the midst of his failure, his faith wouldn't fail. He'd be able to get up and walk again. And in the process, strengthen his brothers. But that's not just an automatic bounce. When you fail at the level that Peter failed, it's not just an automatic bounce. The Lord was going to have to do something in his life. Pour grace into his life in the midst of his humiliation and failure so he could raise him up. Jesus first had to strengthen him by grace before he could strengthen his brothers. The story of Peter strengthening his brothers isn't just, hey guys, if you fail, Jesus still loves you. The story is, hey guys, even if you fail, Jesus can restore you and still use you at the highest level. You see, Jesus revealed himself, for the first person he revealed himself to in his resurrection was Mary Magdalene, the former prostitute. But the second person he revealed himself to was Peter. Though we have no record of when it happened, Luke chapter 24, when the guys come back and report from the road to Emmaus, it says, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. In the passage in 1 Corinthians 15, which talks about all the appearances of Jesus in verse 5, and he appeared to Cephas, to Simon, and then to 500 more. So at some point, Peter must have walked out of the room, gone somewhere, did something, and Jesus comes to him personally. And he's the only disciple, the only apostle that Jesus revealed himself to personally, individually. John was the first one to believe, but he only believed because he went into the tomb, saw it empty, and he believed. But Peter, he came to because Peter needed that. Now he tells the women, go tell the disciples, but particularly make sure Peter understands that it's not all over with because he blew it. My crucifixion didn't happen because he messed up. Everything's okay. And then he appears to Peter himself personally. All because this is part of the restoration. This is all the grace of God. This is all a revelation of who he is. And that all of you are familiar with in John chapter 21. Because evidently, after the women coming and telling him, hey, the angel wants you particularly to know Peter, he's risen. Then Jesus coming to Peter personally, has risen, that must have encouraged Peter at some level that he didn't ruin everything. But what I believe is that Peter still didn't believe God could use him. When we mess up at that level, what the devil tries to tell us, one, is that maybe we can never be who God's called us to be. God doesn't love us. He's so disappointed. And God comes to us and restores us in understanding his love for us. But the enemy also tells us, but you can never know plan A. Plan A's out the window. What he had for you, you've blown it and thrown it away, and there's no way to get it back. And so in John chapter 21, they're all fishing. This is a week or two after the resurrection. They're all fishing, and they can't catch anything. And there's a man sitting on the shore, and I don't recognize who he is. He's built a fire. And he yells out to them. He said, why don't you cast the net on the right side of the boat? And they cast the net on the right side of the boat, not recognizing who it was, and they catch this big haul of fish. Same thing that happened back 3.5 years ago when Peter was originally called. And John, who understood, who had a revelation of the love of Christ, John the Beloved, more than anybody else except maybe Mary Magdalene, John looks at Peter and says, it's the Lord. Only the Lord would do that. You know what that says to me about John? He knew how to recognize the nature of God. He saw the glory of God. The enemy tries to rob us to not see his ways, to understand his ways. John understood his ways and said, Peter, it's the Lord. He strips off his clothes, swims to shore, and then Jesus continues the healing. How many times did Peter deny Christ? Three times. And three times Jesus asked him a question. He asked him the question. He said, Peter, do you love me with perfect love? And Peter's answer was, Lord, you know I love you with imperfect love. That's the Greek word there. He says, tend my lambs. In other words, the assignment's still on. Now, why do you ask him if you loved him with perfect love? Because that's basically what Peter had said earlier. They may all desert you, Lord, but I love you with a perfect love. So Jesus asked him a second time, Peter, do you love me with perfect love? And Peter says, Lord, you know I love you with imperfect love. And then he said, feed my sheep. And he says the third time, Peter, do you love me with imperfect love? And he says, Lord, you know all things. You know me now. You know who I am. You know that I love you, but it's imperfect love. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. So I'm looking for a people who aren't perfect. They're just willing to leave everything and follow me. But the process, why did he do all that? Why did he go to all that much trouble for this one guy who blew it so bad? Because that's who God is. That's his commitment to you and me. He sends a messenger to tell him. He appears to him personally. Then he has this encounter with him. And isn't it interesting that Mark, the gospel of Peter, it's not recorded, but John's the only one who could tell the story? Because he had a revelation of God's love even more than anybody else. He told the story about Peter. This is all about, only till after this all happened could then Peter be really restored. His faith was no longer failing, and he could strengthen his brothers. And I read you this one little place, and then I'll be done. 2 Peter chapter 1, he's talking about them growing and manifesting the divine nature that's theirs in Christ. And he says, verse 12, therefore, I shall always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you know already and you have been established in the truth which is present with you. And I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder. Because he knew what it was to forget. He lived the rest of his life strengthening his brothers, not because he failed, but because in his failure he encountered the grace of God that restored him. That's the thing he strengthened his brothers with, is that even if you fail, he still loves you, and if you're still committed to leaving everything and follow him, he'll still use you at the highest level. Plan A still on, no matter what the devil said to you, and no matter how famous the failure is, plan A is still on. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.